switch. Throw it, I say! Throw it!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, you hear me? Give my creation! Fly!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, hello, everybody. Good to be with you today here on the Guy James Show. I guess all the switches are thrown, buttons pushed, levers, whatever needs to be done. I guess we're up and running, and that's a good thing. Welcome to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Doggone glad to have all of you with us today. And if you haven't been with us before, of course, this is a talk show. And if you don't like politics or current events, why, better go over someplace else. And like I always say, if you're a diehard neocon Republican and you're listening today, before it's over with, you're going to think I'm the devil. You're going to think I got horns and a tail, a forked tail. You will, I promise you. You can call us 866-546-5254. Love to have you join the program today, and I expect you to. 866-546-5254. This is a great day for America. This is a day we've been looking forward to for 12 years. And I can't tell you how happy I am about it. I know there's a lot of work to be done. I know we have to keep our Democrats' feet to the fire. I know we'll be disappointed with them sometime. I hope we're happy more than we're sad with our new Democratic Congress. But this is a great day for America. There's little question of that. It's a great day for the world. Take the congressional power away from these damned Republicans that have been in charge for 12 years. It feels so good. I got to see a little bit of Nancy's speech. It was very good. And I wouldn't worry too much if I were you. We were talking earlier. Gee, she seems so conciliatory and nice and happy and all that sort of thing. And just you wait. You know how Tom DeLay was. Well, Nancy can get down in the trenches when she has to. And now that she's got control, I believe she will. I think she'll do well. And I also very much appreciate this day. The historic significance of it, a woman being the Speaker of the House. It's long overdue. We've been long overdue for a female president, vice president. They've reached as high as Secretary of State twice now. One of them was competent and one of them isn't. But it's a great day. It really is. It's a great day for ladies everywhere. I'm very proud of the fact that a lady has been elected as Speaker of the House. I was talking to somebody the other day. Hell, I think we should have had a lady president 150 years ago. I don't know why we never have. But it's a good thing. And the reason it's a good thing, it shows progress and fairness. And after all, besides being called liberal, I am progressive and you are progressive. I'm liberal. I'm a liberal Democrat first, and then I'm progressive, and that's progress. Bringing a lady as Speaker of the House, and I couldn't be happier for Nancy Pelosi. I think I hope it works out great. Hope it works out well for the party. And like I said, it's a great day for America. 866-546-5254. If you'd like to share your thoughts about the Democrats taking over the House, the Houses of Congress, be sure and let me know. There's a lot to talk about today. And one of the strangest things that I wanted to speak about for a moment or two is this John Negroponte stepping aside. You know, he's the top spy in the country, and now he's going to be number two as Secretary of the State. And Secretary of State, he's going to be the Deputy's Secretary of State or Assistant, whatever the hell they call it. National Intelligence Director. Now, that's a step down. It is a step down. And why, oh, why, oh, why are they doing this? Well, I've thought about it. Negroponte, a guy with a very tarnished background, a guy that, frankly, I wouldn't want anywhere near me, a man who has there's no justification for having him in the job that he's in. He should not be in the government of the United States, and though there are many in the world to think the man should be in prison. And I'm not so sure that I don't disagree with most of those. A man has such a shady background. But here's what I think could happen. Condi hasn't been doing much lately. She's looked kind of dour as of late, as you've seen at the funeral and so forth. She looks that way all the time. She seldom smiles. But do you think that maybe she is extremely... I'm going to put several scenarios out here. Do you think that perhaps she's fed up with being Secretary of the State? After all, her accomplishments are... Let me count them on one hand here. Condi's accomplishments. Okay, she's had no accomplishments. None. Nothing that I can see. The Secretary of State has to be the most do-nothing. I hate to overuse that word. But she's done nothing. And the great chance she had to do something recently in the nasty Iraqi war against Hezbollah and the people of Lebanon. What did she do there? There was a chance for the Secretary of State to step up and really take charge and do something. She got nothing accomplished. The heads of state in the other countries seemingly have scorn for Condoleezza Rice. Her word is worth nothing, and she's got nothing accomplished. So maybe she's going to step aside. Maybe that's it. Maybe they think that she's going to step aside, and so why not get Negroponte in there ready to take her place? The second scenario is Negroponte is most definitely one of Daddy 41's boys. Many of those people seem to circulate in and out of this junior 43 situation. So maybe that's it. Maybe they're going to put him in there as Secretary of State. And the other thing is, how about this? What do you think if Cheney resigns? As we know, he's got a lot of trouble coming up soon. Cheney resigns because they know the investigations are going to take place, and Cheney's going to be involved in a lot of them. They make Cheney resign. They put Condoleezza Rice in as vice president and then put Negroponte in as Secretary of State. I think this has got something to do with Dick Cheney. That's my bet. We shall see. Am I crazy? I don't know. You know, one thing you have to wonder about, would the racist GOP allow this to happen, having a black woman as the vice president? And if you think I'm crazy, remember who we're dealing with here. You got the Scooter Libby trial coming up. I would like to know what Cheney thinks about this. Would like to know if there's a heart attack coming up for him and he has to leave for his health. There are many things you could put on this, but I thought, wow, this is a wild story about him getting out of here. Hey, I do want to mention briefly, and somebody, Elo, asked on the chat room what I think of Harriet Myers leaving. She was a crony. probably in over her head. Junior appointing her for the Supreme Court, probably one of the dumbest things that ever happened in this country. We're going to have a guest coming up in about 5 minutes, and it's going to be John Nichols. And a lot of you know who John Nichols is. He's a Washington correspondent for The Nation magazine, and he's a contributing writer for The Progressive and In These Times, and he's associate editor of the Capital Times, the daily newspaper in Madison, Wisconsin. And his articles have appeared in New York Times, Chicago Tribune, and dozens of other newspapers. And John's going to be participating this evening in over at the National Press Club. And, geez, I wish I could be there. Daniel Ellsberg's going to be on the panel. Michael Ratner, John Nichols, Cindy Sheehan, Deborah Sweet. And Deborah Sweet, as you know, is, she's ahead of the World Can't Wait. And they're sponsoring this tonight. So John's going to be our guest, and guess what he's going to talk about? Guess what this panel is about tonight? It's about impeachment. Voices for Impeachment. And that's going to take place, if you're around the Capitol tonight, at 7 p.m. at the National Press Club over on at 529 14th Street Northwest in Washington. So if you're around there, head on over to that. That's one of the reasons I would like to live in D.C. to attend things like that. I really would. So John's coming up in just a couple of minutes. We'll go to a break and then get him on here in just a moment or two and talk for a few moments at least about impeaching Mr. Bush and what John thinks about it. He's written extensively about it. Shuffling my papers here. 866-546-5254. Would like to know what you have to say about John Negroponte. That one kind of got to me just a little bit. I'm pretty surprised over that. Where are we at here? I think we're going to pause for a break right now. We'll get our guest on the phone, and we'll be back with just a moment or two.
Those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Will die.
This is not America.
little piece of you, a little piece in me.
Well, hey, things go wrong sometimes in radio, and John isn't evidently around his phone right now. We'll hope maybe we'll get a call from him or try him again at the next break. Don't know what's happening. Often does, though. Might be caught in traffic in Washington. Who knows? But we'll proceed, okay? We'll proceed. You listen to the Guy James Show, 866-546-5254. Hey, let's just go to the phone right now. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Shirley from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Shirley.
Hi. I'm calling because you just said that it's a great day for women just because Nancy Pelosi has been elected for Speaker of the House.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I disagree with you because that's, what has that got to do with me? I mean, why should I celebrate that?
Well, isn't it obvious? Isn't it obvious that no woman's ever had that job before, and now?
So what?
What do you mean? So what?
She's a stupid bitch.
Nancy Pelosi is a stupid bitch.
Yes. Because she.
You're really showing your intelligence here. Why do you say that?
She's agreed with just about everything George Bush has done. Have you forgotten about that?
No, I have not forgotten anything that she's done.
Why should we celebrate this? This is nothing good for America.
You been drinking?
No.
It's not good to have a woman to be
no.
a secretary.
Why should this be such a big deal just because she's a woman? So what?
Well, I guess we're going to have to disagree. I can't see that it's anything but a...
You know what you're going to... be disappointed by her in a couple of months, you're going to be complaining because she disappointed you. Because you know she's always disagree. She always agree with Bush on everything.
What does she disagree? What's she agree with Bush on?
Didn't she go along with this stupid war?
Just about everybody did. So are we going to kick everybody out that did?
I didn't.
Well, I didn't either. But are we going to just ignore and throw out every politician that went along with it? Should we do that?
Yeah. Because they were stupid to believe Bush's lies. I never believed them.
Well, I didn't believe it either. But
so why should we celebrate this? What's the big deal? So she's a woman. So who cares?
Well, I do. I'd like to see... I think ladies have been put down for too long.
So who cares?
I'd like to see a woman as president.
Why?
You're not really... you don't mean that, do you? Why would you want to be a member of a gender that could never be president of the United States?
I don't care about being president.
Well, you might not, but I tell you, there's millions of other...
Why should we let somebody be president just because she's a woman?
She wouldn't be president just because she's a woman. She would be president in spite of being a woman because there's never been a woman as president or speaker of the House.
I don't think anybody wants a woman president. I don't want one.
You don't.
No.
Well, I'd say I don't know what to tell you. I'd be proud to have a lady as president just as much as a guy. It would make no difference to me. But
I think you should, saying that it's a great day for women just because she's elected Speaker of the House. Who cares? I don't care.
Okay. You've registered your vote.
Nothing to do with me. What's that got to do?
Okay. Okay. We hear you. Thanks for your call. Let's head over here to that one's a bit unusual. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, it's John Nichols.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
Good, good, good. I see you got my message already.
I did. Yeah, I was just in the subway.
Oh, in the metro.
The metro in Washington, yeah.
I think that's the best doggone metro system in the world. That thing is so great, getting around Washington.
It is very good, although London's tube is actually very good as well. It takes you to a lot of places and nooks and crannies of the city. I think any mass transit system, which, of course, now we're discussing today, but any mass transit system is only useful if it goes everywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
And one of our challenges with the metro is still to get it to run into some of the poorer neighborhoods of the city, like Anacostia. And that when we do that, we really will have a good system.
Yeah. Well, as a guy living someplace where we don't even have one, I appreciate when
no
I come there.
No complaints. Absolutely.
John, you're going to be on that panel tonight down at the National Press Club, and boy, I'd like to be there for that. I really would. You're going to talk about impeachment, and you've been one of the people that's kind of been heading this up for a long time. Tell me how and why and should we impeach Bush? Could we impeach Bush? And will it be worthwhile?
Well, there's a lot of questions, and the answers are generally yes. We certainly can impeach George Bush. The founders were very specific about that. They put in place a set of rules and regulations, laws and stipulations that made impeachment one of the easier processes of an American democracy. You don't have to prove a crime. You don't have to prove a specific form of wrongdoing. What you do have to prove is that a president has committed acts that a majority of the members of the House of Representatives and, by extension, really, the American people feel are in conflict with or abusive to the Constitution. I don't think there's any question that George Bush has met that standard. In fact, to my mind, he met it at the very beginning of his tenure a long, long time ago. And really, the challenge has not been one of figuring out reasons to impeach him. It's more been a challenge of imagination. Can we identify the instinct, the courage, the determination to do it? And I think, intriguingly enough, that's happening now. What's going on is that we elected a Democratic Congress, and an awfully lot of people thought, well, we can breathe a sigh of relief. Now that the Democrats are in charge of the legislative branch, Bush will be disempowered. But the truth of the matter is, President Bush has signaled not only that he does not intend to be disempowered by the election, but in fact, that he intends to be more aggressive, send another 30 or 40,000 troops to Iraq, do more extensive spying. It was revealed this morning that the president issued a signing statement that allows the administration to open the mail of American citizens without notifying them and without a warrant. This guy isn't turning back.
No,
so
certainly not.
I think a lot of Americans are waking up to the reality that we've reached the impeachment moment, and now the challenge is to make enough noise about it so that members of Congress develop that spine that they are not born with and act as they should.
Do you have any indication from Congress that you think there will be a serious effort to do it?
I think there will be, and I think it will be precisely in the manner that impeachment should progress, and that is an organic manner. You have investigations first. Members of Congress, members particularly of an opposition party, who chair key committees, hold inquiries into the question of whether the president has taken inappropriate actions. Look for Henry Waxman at House Government Reform to be a very key player in that, but also Russ Feingold on the Senate Constitution Subcommittee and Jerry Nadler on the House Constitution Subcommittee. These are people who have already said very bluntly that they believe the president should be censured and perhaps impeached. And so now they will hold investigations, not beginning with the pledge of impeachment. but rather beginning where any good investigator does, looking at the wrongdoing, looking at the crimes. And once they are identified, confirmed, and communicated to the American people, I think the outcry from the great mass of Americans would be a very loud one. See, we on the left, if you will, have been so familiar with Bush's wrongdoing and misdeeds for so long that we think everybody knows about it. What we don't recognize and what we must recognize is that the great mass of Americans are victims of a media that doesn't do a very good job of covering power. But when Congress begins to investigate, by its nature, that media begins to do a better job.
Absolutely. I agree with that. I think you're absolutely right about the great masses. You know, I and probably you, maybe we're in a bubble here, and we talk to activists all the time, and we think everybody knows everything, but they don't. And do you think the Bush administration has done a good enough job covering their asses on a lot of things, like they did with the first energy meeting and so forth? Will we be able to get that stuff out of them, the information?
No, I do not think they have done a good enough job. They've been very meticulous about this. They knew they were committing high crimes and misdemeanors, and they knew that they faced the possibility of sanctions. So certainly they tried to cover up their actions. They tried to obscure them to keep them secret. But when you get to the core realities of some of what they've done, we already have the information. It is more a matter of documenting it, codifying it, putting it into a form about which the American people can be talking. And, you know, let's be clear. We know that from Joe Wilson that the so-called intelligence on which the war in Iraq was not accurate. It was doctored. We know from the Downing Street documents from Tony Blair's office in England that there were discussions with the Americans about, quote-unquote, fixing the intelligence. And these are the classic definition crimes and misdemeanors. When you set out to lie to Congress, when you set out to lie to the American people about an issue so consequential as whether or not to go to war, you have stepped into the impeachment zone. There's no question of that. And then I think also we can't neglect the whole discussion of warrantless wiretapping and now this new revelation about opening the mail. I mean, the fact of the matter is that the founders, if there was one thing that they were particularly conscious of, it was the danger of allowing the executive to spy on the American people, to use the powers of the presidency to listen in on our conversations, to open our mail. These are things literally that the founders talked about in 1787. And so, again, we have the evidence. We have the incident. What we really need to do is find the language to talk about it. And the important thing, Guy, is that that language not be one of hating Bush, but rather one of redeeming the Constitution. We ought to be about the most patriotic of all duties, and that is to say, you know, look, this country cannot let George Bush finish his presidency, because if we do, we will enshrine in the executive branch, we will forever guarantee that future presidents are going to act as Bush has, be they liberals or conservatives, Democrats or Republicans. They will seize all of the acquired powers of the presidency and act in manners that are abusive to the Constitution and to the Republic. We can't let that happen, and we ought to be able to get some of our Republican and some of our conservative allies to agree with us on this.
Well, we were able to do that back when Nixon was president. The only, you know, all this talk over the week about Gerald Ford and all of the, I don't agree that pardoning Nixon was a good thing. I think it allowed a guy like Bush to do some of the things he's done, and you're right about the government, the founders, and so forth. The government is not supposed to be protected from the people. The people are supposed to be protected from the government, and we've just gotten that backwards with these signing statements and all these illegal acts that Bush has done.
There was a wonderful statement, Jefferson, saying roughly the same thing that you've just said, and that was that the president should not be feared by the people. The president should fear the people. And Jefferson said that statement, you know, one of his most classic utterances, in the context of a discussion of impeachment. Jefferson was a strong believer in the value and indeed the necessity of impeaching executives who stepped outside of the rule of law, who violated the basic tenets of the Constitution. He and Madison wrote letters back and forth to one another at the time of the Constitutional Convention outlining, you know, when and how they thought impeachment should proceed. And they were very specific about it. They thought that the key time in which to begin an impeachment process was in a time of war. They did not believe that you tried to impeach a president when everything was going great, when everybody was happy, when you had peace and prosperity. Rather, they believed that the time to use the tool of impeachment was when a president had led the country into a dire circumstance. Well, I would suggest that Iraq is the classic definition of a dire circumstance, and if Jefferson and Madison were around today, they would be asking, what are you waiting for?
I think you're exactly right. What's the buzz around Washington? Of course, it's too early. We haven't had the investigations yet that are surely coming. I just wonder how unhappy it's, you know, from out here in the hinterlands where we are, and we just wonder sometimes how unhappy the Republican Congress is.
Well, I can tell you that the White House has added dramatically to its legal staff, particularly in the White House counsel's office, and they brought in a number of experts on issues of impeachment and censure and also congressional investigations. So they very clearly are conscious of the threat that they face, and they know that it's coming at them. We also know that Henry Waxman, the new chair of the House Government Reform Committee, has prepared more than 2,000 briefs for investigation of this administration. And so the fact of the matter is, as Waxman says, it's not a question of whether there will be intensive and detailed investigations. The question is whether it's really where to begin. Which yeah. investigation do you start with? But the buzz is one of, I think it's the right buzz. It's a particularly practical discussion. Everybody recognizes that you don't start with impeachment. You start with investigation and inquiry. You build your case, as any prosecutor would and should. And then you apply the rule of law to the wrongdoer. I think by spring, by April or May, discussions of impeachment will be very much on the table. And when I talk to members of Congress, I hear a consciousness of that. They don't necessarily always embrace it, because those in power fear what Lord Bryce referred to as the heroic medicine of impeachment. But when all is said and done, they accept the reality when it comes at them.
Tell me something, John. The program tonight, the Voices for Impeachment program down at the Press Club, a National mm-hmm. Press Club, do you know if it's going to be on C-SPAN or not?
I hope it will be. I do not know for sure. C-SPAN's got a lot of demands on it, but it is a remarkable panel. Gore Vidal,
oh, yeah.
Daniel Ellsberg, the Pentagon Papers fame, Cindy Sheehan, Michael Ratner for the Center on Constitutional Rights. I mean, these really are a group of folks, and I'm honored to be a part of the discussion. They're really a group of folks that are prepared to have a very serious and very important discussion about where the Republic stands and what we need to do to redeem it. So I hope C-SPAN will be there. I know some other, a lot of independent media will be present, and I think there will be attention to this because it is the critical question of our time. You know, this Congress was not elected merely to sort of change the names on the doors and continue the same policies. This Congress was elected to address some fundamental crises in the country at the moment. And the most fundamental crisis of those is the lawlessness of the Bush presidency.
Absolutely. You know, John, just for your information, you were the one missing link out of that whole panel that we've never had on the show before today. So we've had the rest of them on, and we're glad to complete our set here with you. I'll look for that on C-SPAN. I sure hope it will get on there.
Well, I sure do, too, my brother, and I apologize. It's around time for me to head on to my next...
Okay, we're getting ready. New books?
I have a new book out, and that's one of the reasons I guess I've been invited to talk. The book is titled The Genius of Impeachment, and it is a history of impeachment with a great deal of reference to how and why it applies to the current circumstance. And I will brag, if you will, that Gore Vidal wrote the introduction to it.
Yeah, you can't do any better than that. Availability?
It should be in every bookstore. It's a Norton distribution book.
All right, good deal. Okay. John, thanks so much.
Okay, take care, brother.
Yeah, bye now. There's a guy right there, John Nichols. And I was so pleased. When I talked to John this morning, we've had Katrina Van Heuvel from The Nation on the program today, and I talked to John briefly this morning. He says, yeah, we love your show. He said, we have it on down to Nations all the time. I thought, well, I can't do any better than that. That's a feather in the cap, I think. But John is really well-versed, and we met with him the last time we were in D.C., and maybe I'll get to this time when we go as well. That's about all we're going to do right now. We're going to pause for a break, I think. Where's our break stuff here? Boy. I'll get it. Don't you worry. I'm the producer today. Here we go.
In America.
I'm Hispanic American.
I'm of European heritage. My forefathers overcame the trials of slavery. One of my ancestors was a member of the Continental Congress. I served in our nation's armed forces.
Two of my uncles fought for our country in the Korean War.
And I am an American Muslim.
And I am an American Muslim.
I am an American Muslim.
A message from the Council on American-Islamic Relations. For more information, visit cair-net.org.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. Glad to have all of you along with us here this afternoon. That'll be an interesting discussion tonight, and the World Can't Wait. It's a great group, and Deborah Sweet's in charge of that, and it's going to be a. I hope C-SPAN covers that. I really do. I would love to see that tonight. That's quite a group right there. Deborah Sweet and Daniel Ellsberg, and Michael Ratner's just great, and so's John Nichols, and. Gore Vidal's not going to be there, but he's going to have a video message for him all. We had Gore on the show, I don't know, what was it, about 2-3 years ago? I can't remember. Let's go to the phone. You can call us, by the way, 866-546-5254. The more the merrier. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy Dave from California.
Hi, Dave.
I know you speak of it all the time, so I don't know how it didn't come up in this interview, but it's obvious to me, and you too, that you can't just go after Bush and have Cheney. If there's any possible way that things could get worse, that would be it. And so,
I think that once the rat's nest is opened, I think it's going to be pretty ugly, and there's going to be more than just Bush. Yes,
they have to go after Cheney and Bush, either send simultaneously or Cheney first, because it's just we can't have him as a president.
You said that's the understatement of the year right there, Dave. I think if Dick Cheney ever became president, they'd start impeachment proceedings against him the very next day. That's a frightening possibility, but I don't think it'll happen. I really think I think Cheney's going to be the odd man out soon. I really do. I don't think when the Scooter Libby thing starts, and I think when you know Waxman and all them, they're going to be digging into a lot of stuff Cheney's been doing, and he's gonna come up. My health is bad. Ate too much bacon, you know.
Yeah, but if there is one person that could do even more harm to this country at a faster pace, we're looking at him.
Oh yeah, he's got the connections. He's got the background, and he's got the mindset to do it all. I mean, he's been pulling junior strings all these times. Yeah, he's Mr. Darth Vader himself. There's no question about that. Check that out tonight. See if that's on C-SPAN. I'm going to. That's going to be at 7 o'clock Eastern time. I don't know. Well, live is live, so if they had it live, it'd probably be on in any time zone.
I'm in meetings all damn day. And some of them are about impeachment, meeting with ministers, meeting with the Vets for Peace. Incidentally, we had quite an effective demonstration in front of our congressman's office.
Oh, good. Which congressman?
Well, it's Mike Thompson. He's 1st District of California, and a middle-of-the-road Democrat who accepts big special interest money. Mm. He was very much more aware, I'm sure, at the end of the day, of what the people expect of this Congress right now than he was going in.
Well, that's a good thing, because a lot of them aren't. That's a good thing.
Yeah, we had a lot of very articulate, very clear-spoken people, and of all things, TV and newspapers and all was there for it.
Oh, good. You've got evidence. He can't say he didn't know. Great. Great.
So thank you for everything, Guy.
Thank you, Dave. Good to hear from you. Let's go over here at line one. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. Phil in Daytona.
Hi, Phil.
Hi. Regarding the C-SPAN coverage tonight, I just forwarded you an email from the afterdowningstreet.org, which gives both a fax number and an email for us to petition C-SPAN to cover this. It goes right to their assignment desk. I don't know if you're able to get to the email yet. Your email, Guy James.
No, I'm looking here. I'm looking. Let me see here where we're at.
When you had John Nichols on, I shot that over to you.
Okay.
But, folks, when I phoned them this morning, C-SPAN said that it was not scheduled, and I asked if there's a way that the viewing public can lobby them to broadcast it. And the woman did say, yes, here's the fax number and an email address for folks to call in, and say, please cover this. And that has worked in the past.
You got that number?
Let's see the
here we go. Here we go.
Yeah. It's for the assignment desk. There's a fax number, area code 202-737-6226. And the email, folks want to shoot an email over, it's events, EVENTS, at c-span.org.
Okay.
And I do have the main telephone number. That's always a good idea.
Okay.
Area code 202-737-3220, and that's for voice.
I realize C-SPAN's probably got a lot to cover tonight with the and all that, but
the first day. But hey, squeaky wheel sometimes gets.
Yeah, and if they can get at least get a crew over there to record it and
right,
play
and
it at a later
time. They could end up broadcasting it later. They've been great, C-SPAN. About giving us things like that, where they will send a crew and broadcast it at a later time.
Yeah.
But if enough of us make the noise, hopefully they'll get a crew out there.
Yeah, I hope they will. Hope they will.
I did want to comment, if you had a minute, on your thoughts about Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
My thoughts, I listen to some other programs, and my thoughts are this guy's going for Iran. This project for the new American century, all the players are in place. Elliot Abrams out there, you mentioned Negroponte. They're stirring up the sectarian violence. Just, it's a replay of Central America in the 80s, and it's the same players. And we've got three Navy strike forces off the coast, and they're talking about they're kind of making it okay to send 20 to 40,000 more troops over there with the idea that they're going to, quell the violence in Iraq. But I think Cheney's going to shoot the moon. He's going for it. I'm very nervous about it. And when I phoned in yesterday, you mentioned some of the folks that could talk about PNAC. You mentioned Scott Ritter.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned Karen Kotowski, and you've spoken with her before. And there's others. We have Dr. Robert Bowman down here in Florida, who's on top of all this too. If you can get one of those folks on the show, if you're interested, because this is an option that they might pull, and not many are talking about it.
Well, I think. And I'm going to talk about that later on in the program today, probably after the top of the hour. That's a subject we could talk about all day. I don't think there are 25% of the people in this country believe a single word coming out of George Bush's mouth. And I really believe, I could be wrong, but I really believe that if he actually does this, throws another 20 or 30,000 troops into that cauldron that is Baghdad, that there's going to be hell to pay for George Bush and his administration. I think that will awaken the sleeping giant that is the voting public of America, I hope. It would sure give me a smile to know that the American people would all of a sudden rise up and say, no, no, Georgie boy, you're not doing this. You're not going to do it. I don't know.
I hear you, but there is, Cheney has power to initiate a strike, the way things are set up.
Well, I mean, he's the brains behind it all. I just don't know.
He has legal power, legal and military authority to actually call this shot.
The vice president?
I don't have the specifics of it. That's why I was hoping maybe, we can get one of these folks on.
Oh, I'm just sure the vice president doesn't have any authority to send troops in somewhere.
No, but to launch a strike is what I'm saying.
Oh, I don't think he has the authority. I really don't. I can't say that 100%, but I just don't think he has the authority to do that. It's got to go through the commander-in-chief. Now, I'm not saying he couldn't influence the commander-in-chief to do it, but I don't think as a vice president he has any legal authority. But then again, he might have problems getting...
I don't have the specifics, but there is something that's already established where if there's some kind of attack on us or whatever perceived attack on us, that they've already got something in place to launch a strike, and some kind of executive order or something's already in place. I'm sorry, I don't have the specifics of it, but I'm sure one of these folks that's on, like Cy Hirsch or Karen Kotowski, Scott Ritter, Bob Bowman, that guy from False Flag News, and some of these former CIA guys that, are on the Alex Jones show sometimes, they've been talking about it. And I saw a program on Cheney from the CBC News.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Unauthorized Biography of Dick Cheney, and they ran it a couple years ago. And this guy's a scary guy.
Oh, yes.
And they really don't care what the American people think. They don't care about the rule of law. And he's a cornered rat, and I don't see him resigning.
Well, cornered rat's a dangerous rat.
Yeah.
As a farm boy, I'm telling you that. I know that for a fact.
Well, I'll try to find out
all right.
More about this, and I'll email you guys.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye now. Many things going on here. You're going to hear more and more talk about this. I can promise you that. We're going to hear a lot of talk about impeachment coming up. And I agree very much with John Nichols that it's going to. And by the way, check out his articles at The Nations. Very, very excellent writer. Where was it? I had a piece around here. Gore Vidal said of all the swords in this fight, his is the sharpest of people that write. So that's coming from Gore Vidal. That's a pretty good recommendation if you ask me. Where are we going here? Don't want to get something started. I can't finish before the top of the hour. I was very... I look at the news here, and you hear all the whining going on right now by the Republicans. They're just whining their asses off. They're really, and you gotta love the sheer chutzpah after spending a dozen years absolutely squashing the Democratic minority in the House. These newly demoted Republicans are complaining because the Democrats are treating him as an irrelevant minority. Horrors of horrors. I wonder where they learned that, if they actually do that. You know, the Republican Congress is being turned over to the Democrat today. It's already been turned over. And my, oh my, how the Republicans are taking it. Have you noticed? They're crying their little asses off. Oh, woe is us. Those nasty Democrats are taking our power away from us and won't let us play. They're shutting us out of the legislative process. We want to help them, and we want to be totally bipartisan for the greater good now. Yeah, we almost totally shut the Democrats out, but this is different because now the nation wants us to work together. I love the way Dana Milbach of the Washington Post put it. I read an article by him today. Says, and I'll quote this article by Dana from the Washington Post. 31-year-old Representative Patrick McHenry, and I don't know if you've seen this clown, but he's a special piece of work. Oh, yes. 31-year-old Representative Patrick McHenry, Republican of North Carolina, is not a large man, standing perhaps 5'3" tall in thick soles. But he packed a whole lot of chutzpah when he walked into the House TV gallery yesterday to demand that the new Democratic majority give the new Republican minority all the rights that the Republicans had denied Democrats for the last 12 years. And I'll quote Mr. Patrick McHenry here. The bill we offer today, the Minority Bill of Rights, is crafted based on the exact text that then-Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi submitted in 2004 to then-Speaker of the House Dennis Hastert, declared McHenry, with 10 Republican colleagues arrayed around him. We're submitting this Minority Bill of Rights, which will ensure that all sides are protected, that fairness and openness is in fact granted by the new majority. Omitted from McHenry's plea for fairness was the fact that the GOP had ignored Pelosi's 2004 request while routinely engaging in the procedural maneuvers that her plan would have corrected. Was the gentleman from North Carolina asking Democrats to do as he says, not as he did? McHenry said, look, I'm a junior member. I'm not beholden to what the former Congress did. I tell you, these people are amazing. There's a lot of phrases that come to mind when you listen to this clown's demand here in his cohorts. you reap what you sow is one. What goes around comes around is another. It was nice to see. It really was nice to see them out there begging. And don't get me wrong. I'm not looking for the new Congress to be one of these deals where the Democrats, no matter what the Republicans say, are going to shun them, and I don't think that's right. I think if something good comes from the opposition, you ought to listen to it, and you ought to put it in your own plan if it's something good and reasonable, and you shouldn't always play politics. I don't care what party you're in. You shouldn't always play politics. Yes, the Democrats right now are going to play a little politics. They're going to get their first 100-hour legislation through. They're going to ram it through because they know if they don't, it'll never get through. So they're going to get it through, and then maybe you'll see some bipartisanship. And I hope it's the good kind. It's been a long time since we've seen any real cooperation between the Republicans and Democrats in the House and in the Senate. And I hope we can get to that point. But first, I want the Republicans to learn the lesson that, in fact, you do reap what you sow. They should learn that lesson. And maybe, just maybe, some civility will return to the House of Representatives and to the United States Senate. Because there hasn't been... Oh, the Senate's always civil. Senate's a completely different animal. Completely different. I don't know how often you've been there or seen them, but, they're all... my distinguished colleague, and everybody's always nice to one another and very pleasant to one another. Except when Cheney comes to the floor and tells Patrick Leahy, F you, that's not very civil on the Senate floor of the United States. You don't find it hard to believe that Mr. Cheney would indulge in a statement like that on the Senate floor now, do you? And after the... After the top of the hour, I want to get into this escalation that's obviously going to happen. And I'll be damned if I use the word surge. Surge, that's just like their clean air, all the stuff that they like to put use different nomenclature for everything than what is. But it appears that the escalation is about taking on the Mahdi army. Under the sponsorship of Muqtada al-Sadr, And that would be, by the way, the same Mahdi army that the so-called Iraq government handed over the execution of Saddam to, Muqtada al-Sadr. That is the guy and his organization that support, that the escalation is going to protect the Iraq government from. Huh? This is a mess. And now we find Maliki is saying he doesn't really want to be the prime minister over there. folks, this whole thing in Iraq is descending into a tar pit that nobody's going to want to step into, or nobody should step into. And I think we should see by now that here we've got Maliki protecting Muqtada al-Sadr and his army. The official elected government of Iraq protecting al-Sadr, the guy that the United States sees as the main instigator of all the problems in there. Man, this somebody's going to have to sort this out for me, because I can't see any way. What do you do? What do you do? In my opinion, there's never been a better time to just get out. This latest debacle with the hanging, the lynching, and I don't say that with any sympathy towards Saddam Hussein, but one would think that a real government would exhibit some decorum in a situation like that. And all that was an angry mob lynching a guy. That's all it was. I'm not a death penalty advocate. Probably if anybody ever did deserve it, why, he probably did. But it was nothing more than an out-of-control angry mob. And it shows once again that there is no control. That the government that we, the puppet government that we propped up in Iraq, is totally ineffectual. Has no power. Is beholden to some of the elements that are causing all the strife and trouble in that country. People that are shooting our soldiers, the Mahdi army for one, shooting our soldiers, and yet his group is being protected by Maliki and the Iraqi government. It makes no sense to me. If there's a better reason to get out of there, I don't know what it would be. Absolutely don't know what it would be. But I tell you this, and I mentioned that before, if in fact Bush comes up and says that he's going to send a significant number of more troops into Iraq, I do believe there will be hell to pay. I will do what I can do. I know you will do what you can do. Our voices will have to be raised up to another level. We cannot stand for that under any circumstances. No matter what he says, no matter what excuse he uses, the only thing the man is trying to do by putting more soldiers in Iraq is trying to protect his own damn legacy, which is worthless now and will be worthless from now evermore. There is nothing this man can do to salvage his legacy. He has no legacy. I don't know what anybody has to do to convince the guy. You know, he keeps saying, well, history's going to prove him right. And the people that hang around and support him, yeah, history's going to prove him right. History's going to prove him right. I will tell you that I would bet that 1,000 years from now, this will be looked at as a horrible mistake. Maybe 1,000 years going too far into the future. There may not be a United States around in another 1,000 years if things continue to go the way they are. If we have more leaders like Mr. George W. Bush, we definitely won't be around another 100 years if we continue to have leaders with all the intelligence and honor that George W. Bush has. In fact, I would bet that this union would no longer be around, would no longer be a major factor on the world stage with leaders like this man. That's my opinion. Has no business being a leader on the world stage whatsoever. Hey, you can give us a call, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. Love to hear from you. And you're listening to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network, and we're going to pause for some news, and we'll be back right after the top of the hour.
News is the Quality News Network. A historic day on Capitol Hill as the Democrats take back control of both houses of Congress and Representative Nancy Pelosi becomes the first female elected as Speaker of the House in history. She said, quote, "Today we change the direction of our country," end quote. The National Intelligence Director, John Negroponte, who has been on the job less than 2 years, will leave his position to become the second highest ranked person at the State Department. That job has been vacant for several months. Prior to his appointment as National Intelligence Director, Negroponte was the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations and to Iraq. White House counsel Harriet Myers has also submitted her resignation, the White House announced today. She had been named by President Bush as a Supreme Court nominee in 2005 to replace retiring Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Then she dropped out after her credentials for the job were questioned. NBC News reports President Bush next week will announce a temporary surge of U.S. troops in Iraq. They say military officials indicate the number will be 20,000 additional soldiers and Marines to control the security situation in Baghdad. The troop increase will come through extended and early deployments. In Baghdad today, two car bombs killed 13 people. 25 were wounded. The explosions occurred near a fuel station in the upscale Mansour neighborhood. The execution of Saddam Hussein's two co-defendants, scheduled for today, has been postponed. One of the men is Saddam's half-brother. According to several reports, it will likely take place tomorrow. In the West Bank town of Ramallah, Israeli troops and Palestinian gunmen battled. Two Palestinians were killed. In separate fighting in the Gaza Strip, Hamas and Fatah forces clashed, leading to Palestinians dead. In the Basque region of Spain, police report the discovery of a car bomb made of nearly 220 pounds of explosives. The abandoned car was said to be rigged for use in an attack. 5 days ago, a car bomb went off in Madrid, killing one person. It was blamed on the separatist group ETA. In Minneapolis, St. Paul, Muslim cab drivers who refuse to take passengers because they may have alcohol or service dogs with them may lose their licenses. Airport officials are asking for public hearings on the matter. In Indonesia, searchers still haven't been able to locate the crash site of a 737 passenger jet that disappeared earlier this week on a routine trip. 102 passengers and crew were on board, including three Americans. There are reports military planes from the U.S. and Singapore will join the search effort today. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Despite the two recent blizzards that hit the Plain States, other parts of the Midwest and East Coast are unseasonably warm this year. In many places, temperatures are about 10 to 20 degrees higher than normal. However, meteorologists say global warming is not the explanation why. Britain's weather agency predicted today that the return of El Niño, combined with high levels of greenhouse gases, will make 2007 the world's hottest year since the mid-1880s, when records were first kept. The companies that make several popular over-the-counter diet pills have been fined $25 million by the Federal Trade Commission for making false advertising claims. The products, including Trim Spa, Cortislim, and One-A-Day Weight Smart, will stay on store shelves, but the manufacturers must stop making the unfounded marketing claims. According to government data, Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport is the nation's busiest for the second year in a row. Chicago O'Hare International was ranked second, and Dallas-Fort Worth was third. The CEO of Ford Motor announced he canceled his order for a Lexus shortly after he took the top job. He said he traveled to Japan to observe Toyota's manufacturing process, adding that he admires the Japanese automaker. Light Sweet Crude trading at $56 even today. And taking a look at Wall Street this hour, the Dow is down 32 points at 12,442, the Nasdaq up 14, and the S&P 500 is down 2. There's always more at our website, QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey there. You're back. Did y'all get a cold Coke and all that sort of thing? Hey, that sounds good. A cold Coke right now really does. If I had one, I'd be drinking it down. Diet Coke, of course. Glad to have all of you back with us. 866-546-5254. We got a board full here right now. Let's get right to the phones. We have a lady from Ohio on the line right now. Her name is Sue, and you'll find this hard to believe, but she wants to take exception to the caller we had earlier and said it just didn't matter about Nancy Pelosi getting this great job. Sue, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Guy, and for everyone who doesn't know me, I am ELO from the Head On Radio Network chat room, and I encourage everyone to come and visit with us and sit and chit-chat with us during your show and all the other programs that we have.
Yeah, do that. You wouldn't believe some of the conversations that take place.
Oh, yeah, and it goes from A to Z and back again and all around in the circle. So, yeah, it's a great amount of fun in that. Everyone seems to enjoy it. But, yeah, I do want to take exception to the woman who called in your first hour about, you know, what she's done has just, her line of thinking has repressed the women's movement another 50 years.
You got it.
The fact that the women, that American women in this country, haven't even had the right to vote for 100 years yet, and now we have a woman that is third in charge, says a lot.
I think it does. I think it's a great progress, amazing progress.
And it makes me wonder if the accomplishment that Nancy Pelosi made for women today, for the women of this country, I wonder if that woman, Shirley was her name, if she would be willing to take away all the accomplishments of black Americans and what they've done since Johnson signed the Civil Rights
Bill. Sure, sure.
You know, it's when you have a group of oppressed people, you end up with situations like we have in Sudan, Darfur. It's no good. It's no good. And the fact that it's the 21st century now, and we still have very large groups of oppressed people in this country is beyond me. I mean, it shouldn't even be thinkable.
Well, and the fact that the lady was stating, and you know, I object to what she said. I don't agree, and you don't agree with her. But the fact that she said it didn't affect her once at all. Okay. Maybe it doesn't affect her at all, but there are millions of gals that it will affect. You know, my granddaughter, why, the idea that she could become Speaker of the House or President of the United States, that's a wonderful thing.
Sure, sure. And you know, one other thing, too, is watching, and this was something I didn't tell you I wanted to talk about, but I want to slip this in real quick, which is another woman who, for better or for worse, whatever, for the way she stood beside Gerald Ford, he was her husband, so I, you know, expected her to. But watching the coverage of his funeral, and I kept repeatedly seeing this thing, it was on the Alphabet Soup Network, where they kept, where he kept putting this medal over her. And it's like, what is that medal? You know, it just kind of ate at me. So I did some Googling last night. And what it turned out to be in 2005 was she received the Gerald R. Ford Medal for Distinguished Public Service, which she has done. I mean, with her bout with breast cancer that she made very public, her bout with alcoholism, because yes, women do have trouble with alcoholism too. I feel she was courageous to do that. She was one of the pioneers in doing it. But then when you take a look at the award, I mean, the award ceremony itself was kind of strange. When it came time for Gerald Ford to make his remarks on giving Betty that medal, the media was kicked out.
Oh.
And they, you know, they had a statement prepared that they were allowed to relate to and that, but they weren't allowed to say while the former president made his remarks at that. But then when you look at the context of the medal, I mean, the winner for 2006 of the for public service was awarded to every member of the armed services, American armed services, which is kind of cliche since they're over there fighting this war based on a lie. But other previous, and the only other previous winners of it, apart from armed services members and Betty Ford, are Alan Greenspan, Donald Rumsfeld, and Dick Cheney. So that kind of gives you a history of that award.
But
I saw that, and it's like, you know, that just goes to prove if Gerald Ford had any oversight into who this award was given to, he was a right-wing conservative bootlicker up until the day he died.
Yeah, that could well be. That could well be. Although he has definitely spoken out, or did definitely speak out against the war, so I give him credit for that.
I do, too. I just wish that he wouldn't have been so, you know, no one ever seemed to hold any punches when it was Bill Clinton that had his head on the chopping block. You
That's
know,
right.
Why everyone has to spare Shrub's feelings is just... You know,
I'd rather they didn't, that's for sure.
Well, okay, that's all I have.
Thanks for your call, Sue. Good to hear
Thank
from you.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. Let's go over. We got a guy we all know waiting over here. It's Sarge. Hi, Sarge.
Hey, you know that Sue sounded like an Ohio State Buckeye fan or something.
Oh, I just bet you. I just bet you she is. I bet you if you she cuts, she bleeds scarlet and gray.
I just got a strange feeling there's some Ohio State in the background there.
you think there might be let me see here a full size flag, my OSU hat, my Woody Hayes bobble doll, and I'm not kidding.
Wow.
And in my other office, it's really decorated up. Pictures of the stadium and all the pictures of the Michigan victory this year that we put those up to remind those folks when they come in the office. We want them to suffer a little, you know.
Well, you know, with us, our main rival won't even play us. Ole Miss and Mississippi State scared to death of Southern Miss. They'll run and hide.
Well, those Wolverines, they can't avoid it. They have to play us every year.
Listen, I wanted to say our drive to help on the Mississippi coast officially kicks off tomorrow, but it, of course, it's already been started for some time. And we are having just a wonderful response. Jim Yancey was on with Mike Malloy night before last, and oh boy, did he really, really do a good job. If you haven't heard it, listen to it, because it will just astound you. The questions that Malloy was asking and the answers that Jim was giving, honestly, if it doesn't make you mad, then there's something wrong with you.
Oh, sure. Sure.
It really, really hit home. But we're really glad. We also had Freckles, Cassie, and Bessie that have got their own little independent situation going on in Texas to send down and help. And this is wonderful. I hope more people will do it. You know, more. Wouldn't it be great to have about 10 or 12 trucks roll into Pascagoula?
You bet it would.
And the local media will be covering it. And it, you know, this is how we change things, and we don't have to do anything special but what we would do in the first place. And that is what this is really about. This is to let people know there is a real America still out here.
You bet. It's I can tell you for sure. Sarge, I talk to a lot of people about a lot of different issues, and every time I bring, not every time, but once in a while I'll bring that up to somebody, and they go, well, hey, you know, they're back on their feet down there. They're getting there. You know the Sugar Bowl last night gave out a false impression, wouldn't you say?
Sure.
I mean, I'm not knocking the Sugar Bowl, and I'm not knocking the result either. I like
that. Well, you know, we have a problem here. WLOX-TV, you know, they got that sorry pile of trash named Dave Vincent, who runs that station, and while he will report some of the stuff, he will be the first one to stand up and tell you, oh, everything's going good. We're better off than New Orleans is, which, you know, irritates me because it's not a competition, by
no.
God. You know, no. New Orleans has their special problems. They need to be taken care of, and it's a damn disgrace that either one of us is suffering. And I don't give a damn about whether New Orleans is doing worse or doing better. I want both doing better. Screw this trash.
Yeah.
You know, your misery is not my comfort zone.
That's for sure.
It's really, you know, it's something that has to be done. Now, I want to say this. Nancy Pelosi should be given credit because she is involved in on this. She's working with Senator Clyburn, and there is an investigation going on right now.
Good.
And I know there is because I have been involved in it. And so, yes, Nancy Pelosi is doing her share, and I'm not a super big fan of hers, but I'm going to give her credit. She's doing a good job running this investigation, and that's what we need. We just got to investigate these pigs.
Yep, that's what it's going to take. Sarge, the website?
Unreportednews.net.
Yes, and you can go there and find out all about this. And
right, and we also have a forum, message boards now, and so anybody wants to leave us messages, just drop into our message boards. We'll be monitoring them, and you can talk with your favorite writers.
Unreportednews.net. Thanks, Sarge.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you.
Get well, man.
Hey, I'm trying. let's go over here to line two. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is your conservative friend down in Texas. How you doing today?
Hey, pretty good. Pretty good.
Well, I'm glad to see you're getting a little over this stuff. I think we've all had it. It's taken me 2 weeks to just hack this stuff up. It's a booger, I'll tell you.
Yeah, been rough.
What? I know you got your upcoming game coming up. I guess is it Monday night?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be watching. I'll be rooting for Ohio.
Well, good deal.
I told you this before. I don't think it's really a question who the class of the field is this year. But they do have to play the game. So, but what I heard Sarge. I can barely hear the caller. And I heard it was Sarge, and I could kind of make out what y'all were talking about. What do you think is going to be the first investigation that they do, Guy?
Well, I don't know what will be the first investigation. I know there is definitely one in the works about the energy meetings that Cheney was involved in. Boy, we got some serious white noise in the background there. We'll just work around it. We'll work around it.
Well, I won't keep you long.
No, that's fine. In fact, the viewers might not even hear. The listeners might not even hear it. I think they're definitely going to check in on the manufacturing of evidence to go to war. That's going to be a very big thing. There's no doubt about it.
What did you think about Sheehan yesterday shouting down Emmanuel?
I didn't think that was a smart thing to do at all.
I didn't either. I mean, it just really, to me, it just makes that side of the argument look ridiculous and lose a lot of credibility.
Well, you do have to remember that's one voice on that side of the argument. So, you know, keep that in mind.
Well, and you're right. I guess what was so, funny about it, I guess funny is not really the right word, that what was so inappropriate about it is it was the first press conference that they were going to hold to lay out an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really, to me, it just made it look real Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all. I was frankly appalled. I was.
Well, you know, I know Emmanuel was coming out. They were going to talk about lobby reform and some of the agenda things. From what I can take, from what I've read and conversations that I've heard on other talk shows, it really looks like all they're going to do with the lobby reform is just change the way that they report things. And I guess, you know, won't be able to take corporate jets, but that doesn't preclude, you know, charters and, you know, all different other things.
Well, if they find a way to get around it, they will. You know, the only way to do that, you're right, the way they report things, they're going to have to they're going to have anything like that go before the ethics panel be approved. Well, what we really need is an independent ethics panel, completely independent, and I want to be on it.
Yeah, you know what? I would not be opposed to having an independent panel. I don't know how it would work. Maybe a review board.
Well, like I think they're doing it all wrong. They've suggested that they want to get ex-judges and ex-Congress people. I don't want to see that. Yes, maybe some on it, but I would like to see some citizens on it.
Yeah, I would like to see everyday people.
Yeah.
Doing some of those things, because I really think what happened, guy, I mean, on both sides of the aisle, they get up there and they just lose touch with all reality.
Sure they do.
I mean, from either side. Now, I heard a report that K Street was going through a reorganization, if you will.
Absolutely.
Are you still in favor of bulldozing?
Absolutely. I'll drive the thing. I'll drive it. I volunteer.
Okay, just two other quick things.
They're just going to hire guys. They're just going to hire some different guys to lobby Democrats. That's it.
Yeah, you're exactly right. On Gerald Ford, I know there's been a lot ballyhooed about his comments about the war. But what I want to know is, I would like to hear the whole conversation, and I would also like to hear the interview that Woodward did with Ford after that, because it makes it seem as though that he bitch-slapped him, so to speak. That's the way Mike Malloy called it. He bitch-slapped him from the grave. I'd like to hear the whole conversation, because if you excerpt one little line out of the whole thing, it can make it mean something totally.
Well, I'd probably like to hear the whole thing, too, because here's my opinion. I think it'd be worse than what you think it is. I think guys like Jerry Ford and some of the old-time Republicans have got no use for these guys in office right now. And in fact, I know some that don't. They don't have any use for these modern-day neocons in power at all, and would like to see them go away and disappear.
Yeah. Well, I certainly would like to see. I'd like to hear the whole conversation. I just think it's kind of odd that he would excerpt one little part out of a conversation that he had.
Oh, that's the part that gets everybody's attention.
Yeah, you might be right there, guy. All right, guy. Well, I'll let you go for now.
Hey, good to hear from you, Mike.
I did want to let you know I am out here. I am listening just like I normally do. We've just been working a lot of hours lately.
Call that mail, buddy.
All righty.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
I don't know. Is it me? Is it me, or is Mike from Texas getting a little more less conservative? I shouldn't say less conservative, less radical conservative. I said that for his benefit. We shall see. We shall see. What is it? It's 4:23 right now. You know, just to follow up on something I said yesterday, and you know what I said about the differentiation between a person's religion and the country, in which case we were talking about Israel. And as you know, I'm not in favor of most of Israel's actions. But that does not make me anti-Semitic, not whatsoever. And I did mention in that program yesterday about AIPAC. It's probably the most powerful lobby in Washington. And did you know, and I know a lot of you know, that the Israelis were caught spying on the American government a few years back, for God's sake. No. No, that should not be happening. But I got this story. So Jewish leaders were scrambling this week to find out how they would be affected by new elected Governor Eliot Spitzer's executive order banning junkets for executive branch officials from New York sponsored by outside groups. Spitzer on Monday banned members of his administration from accepting any gift, including support building missions to Israel. Now, you tell me, what the hell is the state of Israel doing maintaining support building missions to Israel from government officials of New York? You tell me. you know, this is, they say it might permit the inference of being intended to influence the individual in the performance of official business. Well, damn right it interferes. Since 1982, the UJA Federation of New York and its beneficiary, Jewish Committee for, I can't think what it all stands for, have taken more than 500 community leaders, elected officials, and or their staff members to Israel to learn about and better understand the economic, political, and security challenges. What for? What does a legislator from the state of New York, what on earth is the connection with having to travel to Israel to learn about and better understand the economic, political, and security challenges of the state of Israel? What? It says, by providing these leaders firsthand exposure to Mideast realities as seen by Israelis, the missions serve both short and long-term goals, planting seeds of support in communities across the area and investing goodwill among local officials who may one day have their hands on foreign policy. Some of the local officials treated to an Israeli trip have gone on to be members of Congress. So here we are. We're going to start getting them when they're on the state level so that we really got our hooks into them when they get to the federal level. That's what it is. Support for Israel in Albany has also produced some tangible benefits for the Jewish state. New York operates a business office in Jerusalem to explore trade potential. Okay, I'll buy that. Trade potential, that's okay. Do that. And the state's pension fund routinely invests in Israel bonds. Jerry Goldfelder, an election lawyer and Democratic activist, said he doubted that such missions would be construed as an attempt to sway state policy. Oh, my. He said, I can't imagine anyone would perceive that as trying to influence governmental policy. Hey, that's all it's for. That's all it's for is to influence governmental policy. That's all those junkets are for. Elliot Spitzer, I think you're doing the right thing. Now I hope our United States Congress does the right thing and starts banning all these little junkets and so forth. Certainly hope. Got something I'm got to get to today, and I'll get to it in just a minute. Something that just flat out amazed me. But the Democrats for America want you to say escalation, escalation, escalation. If you say troop surge, you are willingly participating in the Bush administration's latest Orwellian manipulation of the English language to serve its own bankrupt political agenda. And here's the kicker. The military thinks this is a dumb idea being done for political reasons. The military thinks that. As Think Progress reports, CNN reports President Bush is expected to announce his new Iraq strategy in an address to the nation early next week. According to the BBC, the speech will reveal a plan to send more U.S. troops to Iraq. And last night on NBC News, Jim Mikuláczewski reported that the new strategy will be announced next Tuesday and that an administration official admitted to us today that this surge option is more of a political decision than a military one. PR Watch points out that it's not just secret Pentagon sources opposed to more troops for Bush's war in Iraq. President Bush is expected to make an announcement soon about his plan for Iraq, but a PR war has been raging for several weeks to prepare the ground for a surge in troop levels for Baghdad and Iraq. It all started when General John P. Abizaid testified before the Senate Armed Services Committee on November 15th that he opposed the surge strategy. He said, and I quote, "I do not believe that more American troops right now is the solution to the problem. I believe that the troop levels need to stay where they are," end quote. The Washington Post reported on December 21st that, quote, "other generals have been equally resistant in public and private comments." The uniformed leadership has opposed sending additional forces without a clear mission. seeing the idea as ill-formed and driven by a desire in the White House to do something different even without a defined purpose. Let's face it, folks, the Bush plan to escalate this fiasco in Iraq is absolutely insane. Absolutely. And you know, as this war goes on, I think the people of the country are starting to realize that the billions of dollars spent on the war are not billions of dollars lost. That's, you know, I hear the Republicans say that, talk like that, that these billions of dollars are lost. They're not lost. These are billions of dollars funneled right straight into the pocket of the Republican leadership through Halliburton and other Republican corporate slush funds. And this was money that the American people never even had. The Republicans have been plunging this nation deep and deeper and deeper into debt, hocking our asses out to the communists over in China. Under Bush, our national debt has more than doubled. And this war was so poorly planned and managed that the only possible explanation is that they want to drag it out as long as they possibly can so they can continue to siphon off billions of more dollars every single day. It's nothing personal against Muslims. It's just the business of fleecing the American taxpayer. The business of fleecing the American taxpayer. That is what the Republican administration, every Republican administration as of late, has seen as their duty, is to fleece the American taxpayer, Joe Lunchbucket, and give the money to their rich fat cats. That is what every late Republican administration has been about, and nothing else. And the sooner that the American public understand that, the better off we'll be. There was a time when America was admired by the world, but these days, we're seen as a population of flat earth Nazis, because that's how we've been acting on the world stage since the Republicans got power back. Well, it's got to stop, and it's got to stop now. The new Congress that was sworn in today is charged with a huge responsibility of making things right again, and they don't have a lot of time to do it. We need to... This makes me so angry. We need to go back to becoming the kinder, gentler, more honest and trustworthy nation that we used to be. We need to show the rest of the world that we can play by the rules and not act like some big bully on the block at every turn. And yes, there are times when Uncle Sam needs to step in and help. But we're not the world's police force. The rest of the world doesn't want that. And neither do the rational people in our own country. But the greed and the corruption that's been exhibited during this Junior Bush administration is, by any measure you want to name, totally obscene. And it's against everything this country used to stand for. You're tired, you're poor, you're huddled masses. All these things that the rest of the world used to look at in this country. The statue sitting in New York Harbor, it used to mean something. Not only to our nation, but to every person in the world seeking a better life. It was a gift to our nation because of the respect that others had for this great country and the American people. Can you imagine a nation presenting us with such a magnificent gift now? And why not? It's because the world no longer looks at us the same way as they did then. And who can blame them? They see greed, they see corruption, and they see an American people that are either too apathetic or too lazy. They're willing to accept this as the norm here in our country. Frankly, I don't care if they ever respect our government, but I'd sure like to know that the rest of the world still has respect for the people of this country. I hate to even talk to someone from another country right now. many, many, many people from around the world vacation where I live. And all they ever want to know right now is, when are we getting rid of George W. Bush? I can't make them understand how we can put up with him. They don't understand it, knowing what an incompetent and dishonest man he is. As an American, that really pisses me off. It really does. I hate to have a conversation with people. You know, they're getting bold about it now. I don't blame them. When I talk to people from another country, I want them to tell me the truth. I want them to tell me exactly how they feel about it. And they do. A couple of years ago, I would say they were somewhat reticent to go ahead and talk about the situation and political climate here in America and what it's done to the rest of the world. But they're getting bolder and bolder and bolder. And I understand why. They're all affected by it. We're going to pause for a quick break. And where are we here? Well, I'll tell you. This producer I got today, namely me, we're going to pause for a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment or two.
I pledge obedience to the flag of the United States of America and to the corporations for which it stands, one nation, uninformed, in denial, with liberty and justice forsaken, forbidden, and forgotten. Just because we know we are right, just because we think we are free, because we have such military might, we are killing for the oil companies. Just because our statesmen are weak, and in the guise of Christianity, just to keep our headlights burning bright, we are killing for the oil companies. From 60,000 feet in the air, our heroes take out heathens from their padded easy chairs. Just because we saw it on TV, from journalists with no integrity, who laugh and smile while other nations bleed, as we are killing for the oil companies. Shoot me, I will not shoot you. This is the best thing that we all can do. Just sell your car and ride a bicycle too. Then Muhammad and Jesus will live like brothers do. From 60,000 feet in the air, our heroes take out heathens from their padded easy chairs.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the corporations for which it stands, one nation, uninformed, in denial, with liberty and justice forsaken, forbidden, and forgotten.
Fortunate sons control the money tree, where a paper cut is the only blood they see. The
young soldiers die for the profits of industry, as we are killing for the oil companies. Just because we call it democracy, we rape the earth and take more than we need. And as we control all of the seven seas, space-based weapons will keep the planet free. From many miles above the atmosphere, our heroes take out heathens from their padded easy chairs. Just because we know we are right, just because we think we are free, because we have such military might, we are killing for the oil companies. We are killing for the oil companies. We are killing for the oil companies.
Yes, you are listening to The Guy James Show, and we hope you'll give us a call. 866-546-5254. Love to hear from you today. 866-546-5254. Now, I told you I ran across something crazy today, and maybe some of you have already seen it, but I was somewhat taken aback by the story that was put out by CNN today. And maybe you've heard it, and maybe you haven't, but actually, I was astounded by it. Can't say I'm surprised, but sometimes you take a look at things that go on in Washington, and sometimes you go, well, you know, that's pretty awful, but they've done a lot of pretty terrible things in Washington. But then every once in a while, a little story comes up, and you go, gee, no, man, you can't be that bad, can he? Well, they are that bad. And there's a story out that William F. Rehnquist underwent withdrawal from a prescribed painkiller, FBI files say. The FBI's file on former Chief Justice William Rehnquist, made public more than a year after his death, offers insight into hallucinations and other symptoms of withdrawal that Rehnquist suffered when he was taken off a prescription painkiller in 1981. He was already a Supreme Court Justice at that time. A doctor was cited as saying that Rehnquist, an associate justice of the Supreme Court at the time, now get this, tried to escape the hospital in his pajamas and imagined that the CIA was plotting against him. The FBI on Wednesday released 1,561 pages of documents on Rehnquist to news organizations and scholars in response to requests made under the Freedom of Information Act following Rehnquist's death in September 2005. An additional 207 pages were withheld under the federal disclosure law, and the FBI said the entire section, an entire section of his file, could not be found. Much of the FBI's file on Rehnquist appears to have been compiled almost exclusively for his two Senate confirmations. His initial nomination to the court by Nixon in 1971, and his nomination as Chief Justice by President Reagan in 1986. Administration officials apparently hoped to prevent any surprises from sinking his nomination. Now, if the guy was whacked out and all that, you know, you kind of expect that in Washington. But here's the part of this whole story that really, really gets me. In 1971, Deputy Attorney General Richard Kleindienst, do you all remember him, directed the FBI to conduct investigations of witnesses who were planning to testify at a Senate hearing against Rehnquist confirmation. 15 years later, during the Reagan administration, St. Ronald Reagan, the FBI was enlisted to conduct background checks on witnesses who were scheduled to testify against Rehnquist's nomination to become Chief Justice. The late Senator Strom Thurmond A South Carolina Republican was chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee in 1986 when Rehnquist was nominated to be Chief Justice. John Bolton, who resigned in December as President Bush's UN ambassador, was an assistant attorney general under Reagan. And Thurman just gave these names to Bolton. They got this backwards. Thurman gave these names to Bolton. They will testify for the Democrats, and we want to know what they're going to say, a Justice Department official told a counterpart at the FBI, according to the memo in Rehnquist's file. They went to Nixon and Reagan, went to some lengths to discredit Rehnquist's opponents. Man, that's sick. That is really sick. They even hid, and we knew this, the documents show that FBI files were aware in 1971 that Rehnquist had once owned a home in Phoenix with a deed that allowed him to sell only to whites. A minor little thing that was not disclosed in his confirmation hearings. A lot of people don't want to say it because the man's dead, but I will say it is well known in Arizona. There are sources there that say that the man was a racist, that he sat on the Board of Elections and turned down every black person that came in. But the FBI investigated his dependence on Placidil. I don't know anything about that drug, which Rehnquist had taken for at least 10 years. Said when Rehnquist checked into a hospital in 1981 for a week-long stay, doctors stopped administering the drug, causing what a hospital spokesman at the time said was a disturbance in mental clarity. Here's a man sitting on the Supreme Court of the United States, making decisions, life and death decisions, monumental decisions. And the doctor said he'd been taking this for 10 years, and Placidil is a highly toxic drug, and that she could not understand why anyone would prescribe it, especially for long times. And Rehnquist took it for 10 years. And it affects your mental clarity. Oh, my God. That is amazing. They're asking me if I'm going to play something on the chat room, something I don't have. I'm checking. Let me see here. I'm checking my email to see if I have it. If I get it, I'll play it. Evidently, someone's sending me something. Let's see what we got here.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob. See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is a known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robert Sunday. after time, and it goes back for years. You know, let's talk a minute about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that breeds that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
All right, you happy? You know, that's the miracle of modern technology. Isn't that something? I get that sent this quick, and bang, Zoom can put it on. I'm amazed every day. Hey, that's a good promo, John. Good job with that. They're talking about this on the chat room to the rest of you folks around here. Head On Radio Network chat room. And if you're not a member of that, and I know a lot of you aren't, and I don't know why, you might be hanging out on some other chat room. Shame on you. Head on Radio Network chat room. You'll find a bunch of most agreeable folks over there, birds of a feather and all that sort of thing. Yes, you will. We just, they're talking about this ethics thing, and I don't have a TV in the studio. To me, one of the most important things that this Congress can do is change the ethics in Washington and do it in a meaningful way. You know, the last time it was done just to pacify the American public, to pull the wool over the eyes of the American public, and they found 100 ways around each and every little thing that they passed so that you could just screw the public just as much as before, maybe more. You could take more stuff from anybody you wanted to take. Tom DeLay was really good at making sure you could do that, and he took full advantage of it. They want to put Barack Obama. He put out a paper yesterday, an article on it, and he came up with the idea of making and putting it in an independent panel. I disagree vehemently with him about the makeup of the panel, but I think it's a good idea to have an independent panel, ethics panel. And he says the commission would be staffed with former judges and former members of Congress from both parties, and it would allow any citizen to report possible ethics violations by lawmakers, staff members, or lobbyists. Once a potential violation is reported, the commission would have the authority to conduct investigations, issue subpoenas, gather records, call witnesses, and provide a report to the Justice Department or the House and Senate Ethics Committee. Well... No. If you have a commission of, let's say, 11 people or so, you can put one former judge on it, and you can put one former member of Congress from each party on it, and the rest of them need to be regular old lunch bucket carrying citizens. That's right. And I want to be on it. I'm going to say that right now. I want to be on it. An ethics committee? Man. If there's any place that needs ethics any more than Washington D.C., I'd like to know what it is. I don't think the back streets of Las Vegas could use an ethics change any more than they could in Washington D.C. And I don't want to cut down everybody, but you all know that it's party time for people in Washington, D.C., and I don't mean tonight because of the change of the Congress. I mean it's party time all the time because these people are wined and dined and given presents and just, campaign donations up the yin-yang because they're bought. Let's say it the way it is, because they are bought. And any congressman that stands there and tells me that he takes a golf junket to the Caribbean or to the South Seas on private jet owned by some corporation and comes back and votes on some issue that involves that company and isn't inclined to help them out with his vote is a damn liar. Period. There's no other way to say it. After all, these people are human. And you all know how that goes. They do take them on these big golfing excursions or whatever they like to do and wine them and dine them and just, have a gay old time. Trips and so forth that you and I would never get to do. And it's freebies for everybody. And oh, by the way, Congressman, there's a bill in Congress right now that... as far as the regulations of the electric company, and I know this is, I represent electric company, and I don't want to put any undue influence on you, but I just, I know that when you get back to Washington after us sending you on this magnificent trip on a private jet and wining and dining, your wife being in the salon and the health spa, and you getting to play golf that normally costs $200 a day, and the sky's the limit. When you get back to Washington, I just want you to read this bill and make sure you know how it affects my company. And we'd like you to vote this way. I'm not saying you have to or anything. I know you don't have to, but I'm just saying that after having a nice weekend like this, I know you probably understand our company just a little bit better, and you'll vote the right way, won't you, Congressman? That's how it goes. That's how it goes. And it's obscene. If I were on this panel, if I were on the one making the rules, I'd make it really simple. As simple as can be. You cannot accept anything, anything of any value whatsoever. Not a meal at McDonald's, not a pencil, nothing. You cannot accept a trip. You cannot accept airfare. You can accept absolutely nothing whatsoever of value from anybody. Corporate, private, makes no difference. You cannot accept a dime from anybody. And if we catch you doing it, you'll be out of the House, you'll be out of the Senate tomorrow. That's what kind of ethics reform they need. You know, I heard somebody last night on one of the talk shows say, well, you know, we need the lobbyists. They're voters, too. Yeah, they happen to be voters that are getting paid a couple million bucks a year, They started at about $500,000 a year. Going in there trying to get for their client some sort of a bill passed or defeated that will enhance the profit of that company. It's that simple. So, it's not right. If you want to be the president of General Motors and you want to go see your congressman, go see him. But by God, you better not have any more access to go see that congressman than any other schmo off the street. They better just line up in the office and take numbers, and whoever's next goes in. I don't want to see anybody have any advantage over anybody else. Not General Motors, not Dow Chemical. The days of that should be long over with. And I know the public absolutely agrees with me. We can run political campaigns with no money. We can have we own the airwaves. We can demand that TV stations, radio stations, and even ask that the newsprint give equal time and some print time, some print space to each and every candidate. Started about 3 or 4 months ahead of the election and let it go at that. No money in politics. No money in politics. Not a cent. That's what I think. I wonder what you think. You're awfully quiet on the subject. I get to ranting about that. I'm sorry. I was in politics once, not at a very high level. But even at low-level politics, people come around and they want to give you little gifts and, you know, take you out to dinner, give you little golf outings and all that sort of thing. And you know what they're doing. You know what they're doing. Yeah. Well, anyway, I hope you all enjoy the rest of the day. I hope you enjoyed seeing the new Congress sworn in. And I hope right from the get-go that the Democrats do the right thing on each and every vote. I hope they'll remember who put them there and why. And remember that they're there for the good of this nation. For all the people, for the greater good, and not for those damn lobbyists that come and see them. I hear the K Street's hiring new lobbyists already to go talk to the Democrats, that it's the same game, just different teams. And I want that to end, and I know you do as well. Well, we hope by this time next week we'll be a little further along and get rid of this nasty pneumonia that we have. And we got through pretty well today without coughing our rear end off. And Sue ELO says, go Buckeyes. I agree. Be looking forward to a great Buckeye victory coming up on Monday. I'm sure we will. If we won't, I'll be if we don't win that game, I'm going to... Oh, boy. Yeah, I guess you'll be able to tell it. I'll try. But it's college football, and I love college football. And when my Buckeyes are involved in the national championship game, wow, you know, it doesn't get any better than that. You're listening to The Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network, a proud member of the Head On Radio Network. And always remember, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. We shall see you again real soon, folks.